Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-painted fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Henny, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden and D. Quillen, your hosts for the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
So this is our next to last week. This is this episode and one more.
Wow!
And then we will have talked to everybody
else
from Humanity. Yeah, we have to start working again. I know. I know. We're gonna have to find another play festival to attend or something. Anyway,
there's
this is
gotta be a theater convention somewhere.
There's gotta be some. If anybody knows of any international theater conventions,
oh, that would be awesome.
I'd love to do like Rome or something like that. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Anybody in Rome listening, anyone wants to come to your theater convention over there? We'd
and
love
you're
to,
willing to pay for
and
it,
and you're willing to help us out paying for it. Yeah, that'd be great.
Well, we got a governor's school coming up in the next couple of weeks, so we can probably talk about that.
Yeah, and we'll have all of the artists in from that as well.
And we'll talk about 12th Night.
Yeah,
I mean,
we'll
survive.
Yeah. We will survive. We will do that. So, speaking of surviving, this episode's called The Morris Worm, The First Infection.
Yes.
We're going to talk to two playwrights from the Humana Festival a couple weeks ago. We're going to talk to Carly Mensch. And
like 4 weeks ago.
It was several weeks ago. Maybe I should say several. That'll be better. Several weeks ago. We're going to talk to Carly Mensch, who was the playwright for, or I guess I should say is the playwright for All Hail Hurricane Gordo.
Uh-huh.
And Jennifer Haley, who was the playwright for Neighborhood 3, : for you there.
Thank
Requisition
you.
Of Doom.
Yes.
So and we'll have two more next week, which we'll talk about in just a little bit. So let's tell everybody to go to secretsofscreenacting.com, check out the podcast edition of Patrick Tucker's book. Little information bits on how you can improve your time in front of the camera. Patrick, of course, was a director for the BBC and all that stuff. So head over to secretsofscreenacting.com and check them out. You ready to do this?
Yeah.
Carlin effect, go.
Mental brain thoughts. A week has no basis in nature, as do days, months, and years. So birds don't understand weeks or weekdays. They do know enough to come back to the sidewalk cafe every day for crumbs, but suppose the cafe is in the business district and closed on weekends. What do the birds think of that? I bet they're really glad when Monday rolls around, unlike the rest of us.
Thus saith George.
Thus ends his catechism.
Hi, I am someone you will probably never meet. Yet I ask you to take time
to think about people you don't know but need your help. Children, some of them. And they don't all play in the gutter, of course.
Well, maybe if it's called for.
These men, women, and yes, even the children are professional actors. They want and need your time, money, and support.
For just pennies a second, you can enjoy the fruits of their labor. Make sure they know you heard about them on the Inexplicable Dumb Show. They may look at you funny, but that doesn't matter. It's for the children.
It's for the children.
It's time once again for some deep fried theater!
So here we are yet again at Actors Theater of Louisville, and I keep saying that all the time, but I don't know what else to say.
Get old by about the third episode.
Yeah,
of this.
I'm probably going to be editing a lot of those out as we move forward. But we're here with Carly Mensch.
Hey guys,
welcome.
And it's the title of your play here is All Hail Hurricane Gordo.
That's true.
And we were just talking about before we started rolling tape here that we have not seen your show yet. We're going to be seeing it here in just a little bit, but tell us a little bit about the play itself, if you don't mind. Kind of give us a Reader's Digest paragraph or two.
Oh dear.
Kind of, yeah.
This is my weakness, it turns out. Yeah. I tend to always start with it's about these guys, and then there'll be like 10 minutes of silence.
All right, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it. I'm looking at the quote here. The quote from Cain from Genesis. Am I my brother's keeper? ?
It's a great place to start.
Yeah.
Since the play is about two brothers, mm-hmm. One who kind of cares for the other one, so there's a lot of themes of family responsibility and obligation in contrast with just purely loving someone.
Mm-hmm.
I always go down this route first when I'm talking about the themes and the relationships, and then I always like try to slide in. But it's a comedy, I swear! it's so fun.
Yeah, right.
People run into walls, and there's like magic. And Yeah, I tend to take different worlds and smash them into each other while I'm writing. So it started with a play about two brothers, and then I just took this other world about a young girl slash rebel who is running away from her Upper East Side existence and family, and she's stolen something that she's carrying in a French horn case. And then the theme started to resonate, and then I wove the two together. But I feel very much like a blind person, like feeling his way through the dark when I'm writing. So I never sit down and say, like, I'm going to write a play about family responsibility. And my God, we're going to really explore the theme of family responsibility.
Well, PowerPoints are not something that PowerPoints are not a strong suit for you.
Yeah, no, free association much more than PowerPoint.
Let's talk about your process, your experiences here with Humana. Is this your
first
one? So let's talk about the process. What was working with the actors and being part of this rehearsal process? Tell us about your experiences with it.
Well, there's a lot of drinking.
Turns out bourbon. Yeah, right.
In this town. Entire aisle at CVS dedicated to it.
Right.
No, it's been ridiculously thrilling and exciting because, first of all, I lucked out and we chose a cast of really articulate, smart, yet fun, playful people. So the rehearsal room was kind of like a laboratory of fun with everybody riffing off of everybody else.
Oh, good.
You know, like tons of inappropriate jokes and yet like really smart things at the same time smashing into each other, creating just
really smart, inappropriate jokes.
Smart and inappropriate jokes. Like when you said the word poop, you'd say it in French and then it would be like, and then we were all like, so smart. Yeah. No, but it meant that the actors felt extremely free and comfortable and like nurtured to play around and find really nuanced types of moments with each other. And it also meant that for me, I felt really comfortable just to keep rewriting and tweaking things in the room.
Mm-hmm.
I learned the lesson pretty early on that like every single moment of a play affects every other single moment of the play. So if a certain event happens on like minute 3, by minute 15, like that moment will have resonated and you kind of all have to look out for it once it's a living thing up on its feet.
Well, thank you for saying that. I'm going to make sure that my acting students hear that.
Well, yeah. It's a trial by error lesson. Like you think you've learned it on the page. And like, you know, I've been living with this play for, you know, almost a year. And I think I know like every single line, every single nuance, every single moment gets up on its feet. And like a single thing happens between two actors. Someone grabs someone's wrist. Someone gets angry at a certain time. And like you have to take it in consideration throughout like every moment following it. And so having smart people who are on the same page about once you nail down the story that you want to tell, it's like everyone can look out and make sure that nothing is impeding that story being told.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just a lot of shaping and tweaking and.
Excellent. I'm really looking forward to seeing it because the picture that they put in this magazine.
And his brother.
Is that who that is, really?
Yeah, there's a great story with the picture, too.
Oh, well, tell it.
The two of them used to go down into the basement and pretend to be journalists.
Well, I used to pretend to be Indiana Jones. What's that about?
And those lunch boxes that they're holding are supposedly briefcases.
Oh, they're briefcases. Oh,
yeah, and they would take shots of water in the basement. And then because that's what intense.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Journalist. I don't know what you guys do.
Yeah. Like, well, it's the coffee for us,
coffee.
I think.
But, yeah. No, they went for the shots.
Oh, wow.
Skipped to like journalists at age like 80. Hunter S. Thompson, maybe, because
you know, sure, Ryan, why not, right? That reminds me of my brother and I. That's what's sad about that whole thing is that reminds me of my brother.
Not sad. It's actually lovely because we have found out that both the play and this picture have provoked so many sibling stories.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, there's this time that I squirted my brother with my own urine
Have you been following me around or anything?
Yeah, that's what Hope Theater does. It like brings people together telling their stories.
Right.
And it turns out it's a lovely starting point for stories.
Sure.
And,
so the question we need to answer for our listeners, T, are you a stripe or a plaid?
I'm definitely a plaid.
Okay.
Yeah. Now my socks at that point in time would be striped, but I was plaid all the way.
We have this funny situation where this picture is actually hanging up on our set. It's like the only picture adorning the house. But both actors in the play they've decided that they're the same person in the picture. Like they've Like, they both decided, I think, that they're the striped pants. And then they walk over and they're like, this picture of us. And I'm like, no, you, sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
I created the Big Bang over here. But yeah, so we've got like an over-identification problem with the same brother. Man. So
we need to try to get it. We need to try to get Kyle to give us that picture so we can put it on the internet or scan it in. so that our listeners can.
I mean, the clothes are pretty genius.
Yeah.
Pretty fantastic.
Yeah. It's like every one of my, every one of the pictures of my childhood. So, yeah, I have to say, I'm really looking forward to your show. Oh, I really am.
Thanks, guys. Yeah. Laugh a lot.
Okay.
Like, even
definitely
when
will.
You don't want to.
Okay. We will. We'll laugh at the inappropriate places too. I promise.
We've got funny voices in the play. Like, there's a time when one of the actors he has a very simple line. He just has to say happy birthday. And instead he uses a voice that we've decided is the Abraham Lincoln vampire voice.
Well, there you go. Nice.
Now I'm really intrigued.
I'm just saying, we found a lot of depth.
Yes, you did.
In the rehearsal room.
All right. Well, thanks for coming and spending some time with us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you. Hey, T.
Yeah.
When we don't have guests in studio, how do we talk to them?
Interesting question, John. We use a program called Skype.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What is that about?
Well, it's a piece of software that you can download it. It's free to download. You can use it to talk to other Skype users over the internet for free, or you can make cheap phone calls to phones and mobile phones worldwide through the Skype Out program.
Okay, and how would I, perchance, acquire Skype?
Well, what you can do is you can go to inexplicabledumbshow.com and click on the download Skype button on the left-hand side of the page.
It's as easy as that?
It's as easy as that.
Wow. I'll go do that right now.
Want to stay current with the Inexplicable Dumb Show?
It's quick and it's easy and it's free.
Click the subscribe button at inexplicabledumbshow.com
and you'll never have to miss an episode. T, we have Jennifer Haley with us here.
How are you doing?
Great, thank you.
Okay, so Neighborhood 3.
Which we are going to see this afternoon.
Yeah, we have not seen it yet. We're on
the full disclaimer. So.
Right, yeah. Requisition of Doom. So let's start with the title.
Mm-hmm.
And let that lead a little bit into kind of a synopsis of the play for us, if you don't mind.
The title is based on video game titles. Often there's a series of video games, for example, Silent Hill. I remember when I was first doing research for this, I went out and rented Silent Hill The Room.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So my thought for this is that there's been a series of video games, and this is the Neighborhood 3, and the subtitle is Requisition of Doom. Mm. And that is the video game that the kids are playing. The kids in the play are playing this video game. And it's a special game in that it uses satellite mapping technology in order to recreate whatever neighborhood you're playing in, wherever you live, that's recreated in the game. So your gamescape is your own neighborhood.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Your own houses, your own, the streets. And what starts happening is that the kids are playing in this game and they're, kind of rebelling against their parents, and
sure.
Their parents are starting to appear as zombies in the game. It's a zombie killing game, and of course, real life and the game start to merge.
Right.
So
right.
That's the premise.
Okay. Well, that sounds intriguing. And I'm just glancing over your bio here really quickly. It's okay. Come on in, Mark. We're really laid back here, Mark. You know how this works. Mark just walked in. Mark Cabus, Jennifer Haley. We'll do the introductions
Hello.
Really quickly. So it's. You've actually done computer programming then. Is that what I'm looking at on your
I've done web
that, right?
design, HTML,
oh, okay.
CSS.
Oh wow. We need to talk to you about doing some web design.
I'm trying to not do that
anymore. Awesome. Well, was that kind of how you led from that into your idea behind this game? Is your computer video game? I mean, your computer experience led you into that?
Not necessarily my web design experience. I think I've always enjoyed computers. And I remember when I was 13, my parents put me in computer camp for a week.
Oh, wow.
And the first thing when we walked in, we were given our own floppy disk.
Oh, like,
this is going to be
own.
Your floppy disk for the next week.
Yeah, the 5 1/4 one.
The 5 1/4.
The big floppies. Yeah, good.
Yes. And, I learned a little basic. in that camp, and everything I did was stored on this one floppy disk, and I was very proud about this floppy disk.
Do you still have that?
I wish I had it. I would hang it on my wall.
It's an antique now. You can make a lot of money on that.
Oh, who would have thought? No. So, I mean, I've always been into computers, and then, you know, but really the idea for the show came from, I have my own history with gaming, in that I played D&D when I was in college. Mm-hmm. And I played video games. There was a video game called Baldur's Gate, mm-hmm. which was very much
love
like
Baldur's Gate.
Yeah, I love Baldur's Gate.
Basically D&D on the video game, or at least as close as
exactly,
you could get there.
Yeah. Exactly.
My inner geek is showing now. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I say embrace it. I had a great time playing Baldur's Gate. I had a boyfriend I would play with. And if we had a weekend where we didn't have anything going on, and the weather was crummy, you mm-hmm. know, we had to have like a really good excuse.
Sure.
But then we'd like buy a bunch of food, close the shades, and Saturday through Sunday was Baldur's Gate.
been there, done that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which was quite fun. I mean, I think it's problematic if you're doing that every single day,
sure.
which actually people are with these video games, mm-hmm. with the online video games. But I had never played an online video game.
Mm-hmm.
My brother is, he's younger than I am though. And I watched him go through, I was already out of the house when he was in high school, but he played these, massive multiplayer online role playing games.
Mm-hmm.
He played, he played Star Wars for a while, and then he moved over to World of Warcraft
when they changed
to first person shooter. So, and he would literally come home from school, start playing the game, and play till my mother, like, you know, at midnight.
Walked in and
you need to go to bed.
It's time to go to bed.
Right.
And she would, you know, you've been on that game, and she would, you know, kind of mm-hmm. berate him and harass him. But at the same time, you know, they bought him like the best gaming computer money could buy.
Sure. Right.
And they would like, she would bring him snacks to his computer. And then come back and take away, you know, in the weekends, he would start early in the morning and play till night. And she would come bring him cereal. And then later she'd come back around. She'd take his dirty dishes away that were all piled up around the computer. And
he was very fortunate in that way.
You know, I guess the drug that he can get in his room is better than the drug he can get in the streets.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely.
And so I hadn't played any of these myself, but then ATL bought me and the director a subscription. Hmm. As research before we came here. So I actually started playing World of Warcraft about a month and a half ago, and I'm totally hooked.
Well, thanks for taking the time off to come in here and sit
really.
With us.
She's cracking up the laptop right now.
Right, yeah.
Start my new campaign.
Yeah, my wife has told me that I can't play that game because I would have the same thing.
I got to ask you, have you heard of the online presence of Second Life?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Have you... been to Linden
World? I want to try Second Life again, because now I'm interested in, now I've been talking with the director about doing a play in Second Life, and trying to get a bunch of theater people avatars and come.
There's a production of Hamlet that's coming up.
In Second Life. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'll have to
Shakespeare Company.
Yeah, the Second Life Shakespeare Company.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I want to see it.
Even more reason to try again.
Yeah.
I had an interesting experience in Second Life, and that when I went on, I went in and I created this avatar, and she was like the...
What's your Second Life name?
Oh, I can't even remember. I did this months ago. And I created this avatar, and I went in, and so I'm kind of walking around and trying to figure out where I am and how things work, and the clothes kept disappearing from off my...
That's so... God, that happens in my first life. I don't...
Wow.
My clothes kept disappearing, and then this guy comes up to me, and he's like, "Hi, who are you?" "I'm from Chicago." And he comes and he like feels up my avatar. He like,
"Whoa, you got molested in Second Life?"
I got molested in Second Life. And I was like, I was trying to like run away from him and also kind of like talk to him and tell him to go away. And I couldn't, you know, I just kind of just stood there. Oh, and finally he was like, "You're no fun." And he flies away.
Wow.
What a Second Life story. Did you go to Second Life therapy or?
No, I just didn't play it again.
Is this Second Life police?
Is there a Second Life police department?
Yeah. Well, this, you know, our dramaturg, Amy Wagner, has been great. She's done a ton of research, and they're actually, I don't know if you guys heard about in South Korea, someone promised someone a virtual sword, and it was paid for, and it never got delivered. And then I think, if I'm getting the story correctly, so that person went out and like murdered the person who was supposed to be on the store.
Wow. In first life?
In first life.
Oh, wow.
There have been murders in, especially in South Korea, there have been like gang-related murders in first life based on people killing each other in the video game.
Wow. That's scary.
But they're actually like the whole, now the legal system is getting engaged in the question of is virtual property property? And if you've sold something in a virtual environment, then are you legally required to fulfill your
right.
obligations there?
Yeah.
So.
Which, wow. See, John here, because this is John's whole issue with Second Life is the whole, you know, conversion of American dollars to Linden dollars.
He
wanted to be in on the ground floor of that one, you know, because, but.
I'm going
to
figure out the tax code.
Cause yeah. I think you're going to become the IRS for Second Life.
Yeah, I'm going to do a whole lot of auditing. I mean, you know, I don't think anybody can buy condos and, you know.
No.
We talked to a fellow podcaster who's doing, is trying to do a lot of the theater stuff in Second Life.
And he's doing his podcast in Second Life as well. He's actually recording his podcast in Second Life as well.
Oh, that's
so,
very,
and it was just kind of, you know, I guess I'm a troglodyte when it comes to that kind of stuff. I prefer, you know, to actually see somebody that is three-dimensional and organic.
Well, you know,
describing the house that he had purchased.
Yeah, yes, right. And I had a realtor in Second Life, which is kind of interesting.
Oh man, you know, I have a total like I have this boar in World of Warcraft who's my pet who goes out and helps me kill things. In fact, he kind of tanks for me. He goes and attacks them, and then they leave me alone, and I just shoot them with arrows from a distance. His name's Sauter, and I'm like, I realized actually just recently that I have this crazy emotional attachment to Sauter. I'm always talking to him. He'll kill someone. They'll come bounding back to me. I'm like, way to go, boy. Come on. Let's go back over to Thousand Needles. I'm going to.
So does
the, the problem is when you're actually in reality walking through a store and you say, Sauter would love this. That's when you know, it's time for the net.
I have not played World of Warcraft. Is it similar to Second Life in that it's this world? I mean, I know this is huge multiplayer, millions of people online and all that stuff. But I mean, is it the same idea where you are an avatar and you're walking around and you can do that? Or is it more like Baldur's Gate was just opened wide up worldwide? Is that more like what it is?
It's
or a hybrid between the two. Or something.
I mean, I would say both. Yeah, it's a hybrid. You can walk around in World of Warcraft and do whatever you want. There's a huge, like two continents and three continents, and you can choose whether you want to just kind of run quests in the game, or if you get to a certain point, you can be player versus player. So anyone else who's online, you can. I mean, people have created whole, you know, you join a guild and there are, you know, factions of guilds that hate each other and have all these wars in World of Warcraft. And I have to say, the graphics are gorgeous. It's just, it's really pretty amazing. Like, just when you think you've discovered everything, you go into a new territory and they have a whole new ecosystem that they've created. You know, there's deserts, there's mountains, there's snowy places. Sometimes it rains. There's tropical places. You go into the bigger cities and there are elevators. There are creatures you fly on to go from town to town. And as you fly on the backs of these creatures, it's like you can see your character on the creature and the camera or whatever kind of follows you.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever territory you're flying over unfolds beneath you. And
that sounds
it's
gorgeous.
Just gorgeous. It's just mesmerizing.
That really sounds fantastic. I really
fly into a beautiful land and meet people and kill them.
Yes.
That sounds great. I love that.
And then, so I've started playing with the girl in my show, Raina DeCourcy, who plays the daughter type. We're kind of at the same level, our characters. So we were doing a little quest together. We had to kill some. We're part of the Horde. So she's like a Cal Tauren character and I'm a troll and we don't like humans and elves and stuff like that. So we had to kill all these human farmers.
Yeah,
so it's part of the quest. We had to kill these bad farmers. Right.
Some farmers have to be killed. I understand.
We like cleared this house of farmers.
You can justify me.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, absolutely. It's an open podcast. So we can tell your story.
Well, we killed all these farmers and we cleared out this house and there was a fire burning in the house. And we like took it was me and Sauter and Raina's character and there was this fire burning and you can make your character do actions like sit, so you know we both typed in sit and our characters like sat in front of the fireplace, you know, and we just kind of shot the breeze, talked back and forth online a little bit before we like, you know, left and continued killing farmers.
Right. Yeah, of course.
So
you took a break.
We did. We took a little break in front of our virtual fireplace.
They must be union, really cute. Union killers, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. Guild break. That was a guild break.
Yes, we can't kill right now. We have to kill in another 15 minutes.
What I loved best about that story was, well, it was me and Sauter and...
Yeah. So
yeah, that's right.
So when you had your intermission, were you shooting the breeze as your characters, or were you shooting the breeze in your like reality? Like I have to go to the store today and buy some bread. And
that's an interesting question. We were being ourselves. We were talking amongst ourselves as Raina and I would talk. But there are servers in World of Warcraft that are role playing servers, and they are monitored, and you must
speak in character.
You must speak in character.
Wow.
To get this back to the humanity.
Thank you, Mark. I can talk about World of Warcraft all day long.
Because you said you were thinking about
Mark voice of reason
online and in Second Life. So do you see this as this is, at least for me, a completely new genre and a new direction for possibilities for theater? Do you see this as something, a new direction to go? Is this...
I certainly would never see it as a replacement for live theater. You know, nothing's been able to replace that. But what I do see, what I have found, you know, and, you know, I have the same resistance of it's not the same if you're not in the same room. And well, of course. But for example, before we even came here and started rehearsing, my director and I were playing in World of Warcraft together. And I would, you know, we'd play for a couple of hours and I was like, I spent time with Kip. We went and ran a quest together. I really felt like I'd had companionship.
Now, were you in the same room, though?
He was in New York and I was in Los Angeles.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So
the true experience, then, of World of Warcraft.
Yeah, there is a companionship. Okay. There is a companionship. It becomes dangerous if that's all you do or that's the only way. And there are people who are so addicted, like this is their personality. And the New York Times has there's a link on my website, actually. The New York Times has a series of people and their avatars. And what the real person looks like and what their avatar looks like. Some of those are fascinating. Yes.
I'll tell you right now, my avatar in Second Life looks nothing like me. Can I just say that out loud?
It's very interesting as to whose avatars look just like them and whose look nothing like them.
Plug your website, by the way. Plug your website before I forget.
Oh, jenniferhaley.com. That's my website.
Awesome.
Very simple. And it has a lot of information about Neighborhood on it. But what I found is that it's not a replacement for, personal, you know, but neither is the telephone.
Right.
And the thing is, you can get a lot of people. What I'm interested in doing this play is if we can get a lot of people in the theater community to create avatars and be there, then people can be all over the country, all over the world in the same virtual space, having the same experience and talking to, oh, hey, you know, hey, Kip, how's it going? How's, you know, like, it's what I found interesting after really getting into this myself is that there is a sense of companionship, and you can like engage in an activity with someone who is anywhere in the world and feel like you've done something together, not just this kind of, you know, how when you talk to a friend after a long time, you have to go through this long. So what's been going on in your life? What's been going on in your life? Like there's you actually like you're playing a game together. You're engaging in an activity together.
Right.
And after writing this play and then kind of, starting to play World of Warcraft and getting more and more into the stuff and realizing what a phenomenon it is with the younger generation. In South Korea, there's this whole social thing around. There's this whole like possible big social problem with people playing these games, getting addicted. But also what I'm realizing is that virtual reality and functioning within virtual reality for the, you know, for kids being born today, that's going to be like computers to them. It's going to be a way of existing to them that's as natural as...
Unbelievable, isn't it?
Telephone is for us.
Unbelievable.
We're not going to have that line between first and second for them.
It's going to blur.
As far as life is.
It's going to blur.
Going to evaporate, probably.
Jennifer, we really appreciate you coming in and sitting down with us. We can't wait to see the show. I'm really excited about it.
Great. Thank you.
Awesome.
Thanks for having me. It was fun.
Thanks for coming by.
Here's a little tease of something you can hear next week on the Inexplicable Dumb Show.
So, because I think that's kind of cool that it's kind of from around the place.
Yeah.
I'm from New York.
That's Daryl Watson.
Daryl Watson.
Daryl Watson.
A story of New York. I'm originally from Las Vegas, Nevada, but I moved to New York in 98 and still am in the motion ever since.
I'm a native New Yorker, one of the rare breeds. Okay. I live in New York, but I live in Newtown.
Okay.
From Chicago.
New York.
This is Derek Jeter. I'm based in...
So what's this worm thing?
Oh, yeah, okay.
The Morris worm? What is
the
this?
The Morris worm.
Yeah.
Colon. First infection.
What is that about? I don't know what that is.
Well, the Morris worm was one of the first computer worms distributed via the internet.
Really?
It is considered the first worm and was certainly the first to gain significant mainstream media attention.
Mm-hmm.
It also resulted in the first conviction under the 1986 Computer Fraud and Abuse Act. It was written by a student at Cornell University by the name of Robert Tappan Morris, hence Morris worm.
Ah.
And was launched on November 2nd, 1988 from MIT. The worm was released from MIT to disguise the fact that the worm originally came for Cornell. The ironic part?
Mm-hmm. I'm ready. Hit me with it.
Robert Tappan Morris is now an associate professor at MIT.
Oh, no, wait. So the guy who released this...
The first viral worm.
And he released it from MIT,
mm-hmm.
even though he was a Cornell student.
Correct.
To make it look like it came from MIT.
Correct.
He is now a professor at MIT?
Yes.
That is a hoot. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so...
Nicely done. Tied in with the whole Neighborhood 3 thing. And
yeah, the computer. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Nicely done. Nicely done there.
And we've kind of got the disturbed emotional context from All Hell Hurricane going on, the fact that MIT hired a person.
Right. Well, did it say
we got the abusive relationship.
Did it say he was convicted?
Yes. He was the first convicted under the 1986 Computer and Fraud Act.
Still got hired by MIT. Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting.
What might be interesting is maybe he's then hacked the MIT records so that it shows that he wasn't convicted at all, so
maybe
they don't know.
Maybe that's it. Hmm. I think it's a conspiracy.
Probably is.
So next week for episode 91, I'm going to call it the Yankee Clipper.
The Yankee Clipper. The
Yankee Clipper.
And this is 91?
91.
The Yankee Clipper.
The Yankee Clipper. And I'm calling it that mostly just out of deference to one of the shows that we saw at Human as well. So.
Oh.
Yankee Clipper.
The Yankee Clipper.
That's it.
Okay.
Let's close it out.
All right.
So here we are again, thanking the Humana Foundation.
Yeah.
They're the backbone of support for the Humana Festival of New American Plays at the Actors Theater of Louisville. And if it were not for that foundation, we would not have a festival to go to. So, I guess I should say. So we need to thank them especially. And thanks to the hospitality of the Actors Theater of Louisville folks,
mm-hmm.
Kyle Shepard and Mark Masterson and Zan Sawyer Daly, who were more than generous with us several weeks ago. For 91,
mm-hmm.
our final Actors Theater of Louisville podcast episode,
we're
going to talk to Michael Liu, who was the playwright. What's that? You're holding the thing.
In Paris, you will find many baguettes, but only one true love.
Which was part of the 10-minute play festival. So
correct.
He's our 10-minute play representative.
And he's got an interesting story to him. And
yeah.
I mean, that's kind of why I wanted to talk to him. One of the multiple reasons why I wanted to talk to him.
Yeah.
He has an interesting background.
And one of the most fun interviews that we had, I think, of the day, of our press junket day, was we got to talk to six of the playwrights and the musician, the composer for which was the showcase for the intern program.
Man, let me see if I can find all.
Yeah, find their names if you got them, because that was just, I mean, it was a ton of fun.
Oh, man. I'm going to totally butcher some of these
names.
Let's
just do it next week. Let's just, we'll hit them up. We'll hit them up next week. So,
I'll throw last names.
Okay, there you go. Got it.
Alexander, Spurney, Dwan, Watson, Rigsman, and Weitzman.
There you go.
Sounds like a law firm.
It does.
If you've been injured in an accident, call 800.
Special want to talk to Daryl Watson. No, apparently he's the front man. And we had a special guest, too, of Derek Jeter.
That's right. Derek Jeter was in the
interview. He was actually a representative of Ken Weitzman.
You'll have to listen next week to find out what that's about.
Yeah, as far as that works out. Yeah. But, yeah, that was fun.
That was a hoot. So that's what we got coming up next week, the final Humana Festival episode. Special thanks to secretsofscreenacting.com. Go over there and check them out. Great little tips and tricks on how to improve your time in front of the camera. I want to find out from you how the fundraising thing did. Do we have numbers yet?
We're not hard numbers yet, but I'll have on the show notes kind of if we hit our benchmark or something. Okay. I think we're pretty close. I think we're
awesome.
I mean, I did well.
Good.
You know, so
good.
We'll
put that on the show notes if
yeah,
we don't have that.
Absolutely.
Okay, we don't have that information yet. That's all right. Well, that's great. So check out the show notes page to find out how John did.
And thanks
there.
To all who donated. I mean, I really appreciate it. You guys helped out a lot. Yeah.
And you know, it goes to say that you don't have to wait for a special occasion like this to donate to something like that. I mean, if you have a cause like that, that's definitely a very, very worthy cause. Whenever the opportunity presents itself, take a second to donate like that. And even if it's not one of these special occasion times and you just happen to find yourself available to do that, you should take advantage of it and go do it. I mean, it is a tax deduction after all, but it also goes to a great cause. And again, if you did it online, more of that money went to the kids rather mm-hmm. than to the overhead of all of that stuff. So, good job, man.
Thanks, man.
It's good stuff.
It was a lot of fun. It was nerve wracking, you know, suddenly. You know,
yeah.
You have a month. Give me this amount of money. That was kind of nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
Good. But I'm really thankful to everybody that chipped in and helped me out. I greatly appreciate that.
Good. Good deal. All right. Let's close it up. Hey, we'll see you.
Bye.
Blueberry. This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No East. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com.
Pop Alternative Media.